Hello? Yeah, it's on. Yeah. Okay. One more minute. Yay. No, no. Well, technology. Okay. Good morning, everyone. Today I will present robust test statistics for analyzing rare variants, and this is joint work with my supervisor, Dr. Lei San, and Dr. Jerry Lovitz. And here is outline of my talk. I will give brief introduction what rare variants and what are the challenges analyzing rare variants. And I will describe current methodologies through unified framework. And in this unified framework, methods can be divided into two classes of test statistics. And I will give brief introduction of brief review of each class, and then I will propose our robust test statistic. And lastly, I will give numerical comparison between existing methods and our proposed test statistic. So, what statistical genetics study? And statistical genetics study tries to find association between vector Y called response and its it's called also a phenotype. And so they try to find association between response Y and genetic information X and some covariate Z. And columns of metric X contains information from genetic markers called SNPs. And values of metrics X are zeros and ones. And zero means individual doesn't have mutation in specific SNP. And one, it means individual has mutation in specific SNP. So what's rare variance? And rare variance is a mutation that happens in population with low frequency. And current or single SNP analysis cannot be applied to rare variants due to sparsity because they will have low power. So many methods propose to combine information from several SNPs into composite test statistic, and it raises another two challenges. And challenge number one is that some of the SNPs can be positively correlated with your response Y, and some of the SNPs can be negatively correlated with response Y. So you need to take into account the sign of effect. And second challenge is that usually there is a small proportion of causal SNPs to neutral. So when you combine SNPs into composite test statistic, you need to be careful what SNPs you select so you don't choose a lot of not associated SNPs with your causal ones. So in such case, the power of your test will drop. As I said, there are many methods to propose to combine signals from SNPs into composite test statistic, and this problem is relatively new, and there is a lot of new methodology. And all current methodologies that are proposed can be described through unified framework. And this framework was considered by us and by other authors. So in our unified framework, we proposed to obtain a signal from a single SNP by covariance type of sum between transformer phenotype Y and the vector XJ. And natural choice of transformation of your response Y is by standardizing by its mean. In such case, vector S that contains values for J SNPs is also score vector for logistic regression model or regular regression model. Other natural choice of transformation is rank-based transformation, and such a transformation can be applied when you have Y-dependent sampling. Anyway, you get vector S that contains information for your J SNPs, and now you need to decide how you would combine those test statistics. So first class of test statistics proposed to combine information from vector S by linear transformation, and usually they propose to assign weights to each SNP, and those weights are based on frequency of rare variant. Main characteristic of those tests in this class is that they are 1-degree freedom tests, since all of those tests assume that SNPs have effect in the same direction, and they will have good power when proportion of the causal to neutral SNPs is large, and all of those causal SNPs have effect in the same direction. However, they will perform poorly when SNPs with effects in different directions are combined, and also when proportion of causal SNPs to neutral is low. There is also adaptive-based statistics, and those test statistics propose to combine linearly but have adaptive weights. So general idea is here is next. You look at data first, and you decide which snips are more likely to be causal, and which snips are more likely to be positively correlated with your response Y or negatively correlated. And after you look at your data and you adjust your weights appropriately. This one is not 1 degree of freedom test anymore, since they look data twice, and so they lose degrees of freedom, and they actually belong to a second class of test statistic. And what second class of statistic is they propose to combine information from vector S by quadratic form, and similarly to linear form test statistics, they also can consider weights. And those weights will be my matrix L A will help weights on diagonal. So matrix A will be diagonal with weights. And main characteristic of those tests in this class, they are K degree freedom tests, since they don't assume direction of effects of the SNPs, and also they distributed as linear combination of high square ones. Naturally, they will outperform linear form test statistic when SNPs have effects in different direction, and also they will outperform linear form test statistic when proportion of causal to neutral SNPs combined is low. However, they will be outperformed by linear form test statistic when proportion of causal SNPs to neutral is high, and effects are the same direction. So at the end, conclusion from this part of work is that there is two classes of test statistic, and linear form statistic and quadratic forms, and adaptive weights test statistic belong to quadratic form test statistic, since they look at data twice, as in they pay the penalty by losing degrees of freedom, so they become from 1 degree of freedom test to k degree of freedom test. So also another conclusion is that tests in each group are operational similarly, and power variation in each group is much, much smaller than power variation between groups. So we came to the idea that we need to combine two classes to get best qualities of each class and create a robust test statistic that will perform well. A natural choice to create a robust test statistic from two classes is by combining evidence from two classes, and we propose to combine evidence from Fisher's method. So we propose to combine p-values by Fisher's method, and such method is usually used when you have two p-values coming from two different data sets. However, we have p-values calculated from the same data sets but with different two test statistics. However, there is few reasons why such method can be robust and have potential to improve power over linear or quadratic test statistics. So under no hypothesis of no association between your SNPs and your response Y, vector S is normally distributed score vector S is multivariate normal with mean zero, so first and second moments are uncorrelated, and consequently both statistics, linear and quadratic, are uncorrelated. That's reason number two. And a second important reason is that as J, number of SNPs that you combine goes to infinity, both test statistics become asymptotically normally distributed. So at the end, when J goes to infinity, both p-values under the null are independent. So you somehow close to classical Fisher's method. However, when J is small, we propose to evaluate this kind of test by permutation. Another natural choice of create robust test statistic is considered by minimum p-values, and general theory says that both of those tests are admissible, and none of the tests consistently outperform each other under general theory when you have p-values coming from two different data sets. So we'll consider those two robust test statistics in our numerical comparisons. So in our numerical comparisons, we will compare two linear test statistics between each other to convince you that, and two quadratic test statistics, to convince you that the variation in power between those two methods is low compared to variation between power between those two classes. And also we will consider two robust statistics that we proposed. So to consider a wide range of scenarios, we consider 1,000 randomly chosen models, and all of those models will have randomly chosen parameters. So J will be randomly picked and is total number of SNPs that you can combine, and will go from low to high value proportion of causal SNPs in combined number. Proportion of causal SNPs will go from low value to high value. Proportion of deleterious SNPs among causal ones will be go from low value to high value. Proportion of protective, proportion of neutral can be calculated from those three numbers. And size of genetic effect will be determined by explaining variation of the SNP. So, okay, you don't see, well, okay. So I'll have to tell you what it is. So over here I compare power between linear test statistics. Over here with weights, this one without weights. Over here I compare linear test statistics with weights and without weights. And over here, quadratic test statistics, linear test statistics are compared between each other. And over here I compare linear test statistic with quadratic test statistic. And you can see that power variation in each between classes is low compared to power variation between classes. So over here, linear test statistic can outperform quadratic test statistic by as much as 30%. And similarly, in many cases, quadratic test statistic can outperform linear test statistic by 30%. So you see, within class variation is in power. Oh, yes, I forget to say this one is power of linear and quadratic linear statistics, and this is power of quadratic, and power of linear and power quadratic. So as I said, variation in power within class is much smaller than variation in power between classes. So how perform our robust test statistic? Over here, I compare over here is minimum test statistic, over here linear, power of minimum, power of minimum, power of quadratic, and similarly, Fisher's method, power of linear, power of Fisher's and linear, quadratic. So you can see in many cases, minimum outperforms linear, but in the same time, linear in many cases outperforms minimum test statistic. However, you can see that loss of power compared to minimum is low, and it doesn't really, it's smaller than 5% in most cases, so it's capped. Similarly, for when you compare minimum and quadratic, and similarly when you compare Fisher's with linear and quadratic. But you can see, you already can see that Fisher's gains some efficiency, since there is not many models that outperform that outperform Fisher's test. And over here you see also there is not many models where quadratic tests have better power than Fisher's test. Even if it has, power difference is smaller than 5%. So now when you compare power of Fisher's test statistic and minimum test statistic, you can see that in our simulation setting, Fisher's method outperforms minimum test statistic. So here is a general summary. Current methodology can be divided into two classes of test statistics, and each class statistic has good properties, and there's variation between power between classes. And to create robust statistics, you need to combine you can combine evidence or combine the linear quadratic statistics to achieve robust statistics. And here is I want to acknowledge my supervisors and my station of GS funding for money. Thank you very much. Okay. So general idea is that you have some hypothesis that some region in a gene you is associated, right? So now you would look at this region and you will find out that there is suppose 10 rare variants. And now you would you just combine those 10 together. There is some methodology that try to find optimal combination of those J variants where they have the best p-value, but that's also, they are operational similar to adaptive weights, so they will be like quadratic form. You know, if you use quadratic form for 10 SNPs, you will get the similar power as you will adapters will look for over best combination of 10, from 10. You know? Yeah. Can you repeat? Okay, yeah. We went from uniformly from 10 to 100%. 10, so if you have 10 SNPs combined, it will be like one causal and 9 neutral. Yeah. Less than 10%. Okay, so let's see. So if you have size of 20, and you would say or less much, it's like you cannot go below 1. Yeah. Yeah. But you see, as I said, that's a challenge. The biggest challenge is over here is that proportion of causal to neutral in general population is very low. So you need, as I said, you need to be really selective. That's a challenge over all those tests. You need to be really selective not to combine a lot of SNPs by randomly. You need to be really careful which region you choose. And you need to use some biological background to get as bigger proportion of causal as possible. Thanks.
We now think have a short coffee break for 15 minutes. Refreshments are served outside. So please help yourself.
How do you?
Thank you. So this is from my slides.
You're transferring it.